1 Corinthians 10 tonight, verse 1 through 7. We talk tonight about willful disobedience. Paul is exhorting the Corinthians here not to be idolaters as were the children of Israel in the wilderness. He says in verse 1, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant, how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, did all drink the same spiritual drink," talking about the manna and the water that God fed them out of the rock, "for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play." We think of idolatry today, of course. We know Paul doesn't mean, he's not talking about going out and, you know, cutting down a tree and carving an idol and decking it with gold and all that. He's not talking about, you know, making statues and stuff like that. We understand that idolatry is anything that we place as a priority above God in our lives. Amen. That's idolatry. Idolatry is anything that we prioritize above God. Amen. Whether it's money, our home, whether it's anything that takes our time when we should be spending time for God, whether it's playing video games or online chess. There's many ways that we can be idolaters, and many things that we in our lives put before God. And that's what we think of in terms of idolatry. And that is idolatry. And we're commanded to abstain or to not be idolaters. Neither be ye idolaters as were some of them. But look what he says. "As is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play." This is a different kind of idolatry than what we usually think of. Now, I want to turn back, please, to the passage that Paul is quoting from. He says, "As it is written." Where is it written? Back to Exodus chapter 32. This is a different kind of idolatry than what we usually think of. Because, of course, here, this is the passage where they did make the golden calf. It is a graven image that they made. But that's not necessarily what I want to point out to you in relation to their sin. I want you to notice something here. Exodus chapter 32, in verse 1 through 7. "When the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, Up, make us gods, which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not," or "we know not what has become of him. And Aaron said unto them, Break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, of your sons, of your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people break off the golden earrings which were in their ears, and brought them unto Aaron. And he received them at their hand, and fashioned it with the graving tool, after he made it a golden calf. And they said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. When Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made a proclamation, and said, Tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. And they rose up early on the morrow and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play." That's the passage that Paul quoted. People sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, I pray that you'd put words in my mouth tonight that I don't have on my paper. I pray that you'd speak to me and through me to this church tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You know, you've all seen, or maybe you haven't all seen, how many have seen the story, the movie Ten Commandments? Cecil B. DeMille's version of the Ten Commandments, right? Charlton Heston, you've all seen that, right? Yeah. That's basically, most Christians have a Cecil B. DeMille understanding of what happened here. Where, you know, God led Israel through the world, through the Red Sea. They came to Mount Sinai. You know, Moses went up on the mountain to get the Ten Commandments. And he was gone so long that the people didn't know what happened to him, and so they made this golden calf. But that's not what happened. Not at all what happened. In Cecil B. DeMille's version of this story, these people that made that golden calf hadn't yet received the Ten Commandments, because Moses was still up there on the mountain. But I got news for you. They had already received the Ten Commandments. They had already received a lot of the law before they did this. This is not ignorant disobedience. This is not ignorance. This is willful disobedience, having received the law already. Turn back to Exodus 19. I want you to see, Moses didn't just go up the mountain and down one time. He went up and down several times. And these people knew exactly what they were supposed to do. And yet, knowing God's commands, willfully disobeyed God. Exodus chapter 19. In the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they into the wilderness of Sinai. For they were departed from Rephidim and were come to the desert of Sinai and had pitched in the wilderness. And there Israel camped before the mount. And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, by the way, Moses went up unto God. That's his first trip up the mountain. All right, you can put in your little margin there, put an arrow, one, number one, first trip up. You've seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. Now, therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. Of course, Peter says in 1 Peter 2 that we now are that peculiar treasure. We're now God's people, amen? And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation, just like Peter says we are today, all right? These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. And Moses came and called the elders of the people. So he came back down from the mountain. See, all God told him was those few verses there. And said, go down and say that to my people. You've seen what, back to verse 4. God said in verse 3, tell the children of Israel. And he gave them those three verses. That's all. You're going to be to me a peculiar people and a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Go tell them that. So he went back down. Moses came and called the elders of the people and laid before their faces all these words that the Lord commanded him. Just those three verses. And all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord has spoken we will do. Okay, they received the first message. All the Lord has said we will do. And Moses went back up. You can put a little arrow, number two. Back up the mountain. All the people answered together and said, all that the Lord spoke we will do. And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord. The Lord said unto Moses, lo, I come unto thee in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with thee. So I'm going to send you back down, I'm going to speak to you, and they're all going to hear me. And believe thee forever. And Moses told the words of the people unto the Lord, that they said they would obey him. All the Lord said we will do. And the Lord said unto Moses, go unto the people, go back down. Now, what you don't see in verse 9, Moses went back down. Verse 10, he went back up again. So that's the third trip back up the mountain. The Lord said unto Moses, go unto all the people, sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes. And be ready against the third day, for the third day the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai. And thou shalt set bounds unto the people round about, saying, take heed to yourselves that ye go not up into the mount, or touch the border of it. Whosoever toucheth the mount shall be surely put to death. There shall not an hand touch it, but he shall surely be stoned or shot through. Whether it be beast or man, it shall not live. When the trumpet soundeth long, they shall come up to the mount. Remember that, when the trumpet sounds long. And Moses went down from the mount unto the people. And they sanctified the people and washed their clothes. That's his third trip up and down. Okay, he's going down a third time now. And he said unto the people, be ready against the third day. Come not at your wives. Sanctify yourselves. Stay apart. And it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount. And the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud. So that all the people that was in the camp trembled. Scary sight. Scary sight. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God. And they stood at the nether part of the mount. And Mount Sinai was all together on a smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire. And the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace. And the whole mount quaked greatly. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long. By the way, someday we're going to hear a voice of the trumpet. Amen? Hallelujah. And watched louder and louder. Now look at this. Moses spake, and God answered him by voice. What do you suppose Moses said? It doesn't say. It's interesting, isn't it? What did Moses say? Lord, what's going on here? I wonder what he said. Moses spake, Lord, what's going on? And God answered him by voice. And the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai, on the top of the mount. And the Lord called Moses up to the mountain. Moses went up. That's the fourth trip up the mountain. Fourth time. And the Lord said unto Moses, go down. He's up and down, up and down. Fourth time up, God says, go back down. Charge the people, lest they break through unto the Lord to gaze, and many of them perish. And let the priests also, as come near to the Lord, sanctify themselves, lest the Lord break forth upon them. And Moses said unto the Lord, the people cannot come up to Mount Sinai, for thou chargest us, saying, set bounds again about the mountain, and sanctify it. Alright, so the Lord said unto him, away, get thee down. Sending him back down again. Alright, that's trip number five, up and down. No, that's the fourth trip up and down. That's number four. Away, get thee down, thou shalt come up, thou, Aaron, with thee, but let not the priests and the people break through to come up to the Lord, lest he break forth upon them. So Moses went down to the people and spake unto them. Then what happened? And God spake all these words. After Moses went back down, God then spake the Ten Commandments, chapter 20 is the Ten Commandments, to the people from heaven. He thundered the Ten Commandments from heaven to the people. They were not ignorant. They all heard it, scared them to death. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. That's number one. Verse 4, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. Number 2. Verse 7, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. That's number 3. Number 4, verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Verse 12, command number 5. Honor thy father and mother. I'm not doing a study on the Ten Commandments, but God spoke the Ten Commandments from heaven to the people. They were not ignorant. Thou shalt not kill. Verse 13. 14, thou shalt not commit adultery. 15, thou shalt not steal. 16, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. 17, commandment number 10, thou shalt not covet anything that is thy neighbor's. There's the Ten Commandments, spoken from heaven. Verse 18, and all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. When the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. And they said unto Moses, speak thou with us, and we will hear, but let not God speak with us, lest we die. He said, we've heard enough. You go. We don't want to hear anymore. We're scared. And Moses said unto the people, fear not, for God has come to prove you, and that his fear may be before your faces, that ye sin not. And the people stood afar off, and Moses drew near unto the thick darkness where God was. He went back up fifth time. It's interesting here. Well, read verse 22. And the Lord said unto Moses, thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, ye have seen that I have talked with you from heaven. Have you seen that verse before? Ye have seen that I have talked with you from heaven. God thundered the Ten Commandments from heaven. Turn over to Deuteronomy. Keep your finger here. We're coming back. But when after 40 years had passed, they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, and then they're coming up to the border of the promised land, Moses recounts the history that they've gone, everything they've gone through. And here he's going to recount and rehearse what happened on this day when God gave them the Ten Commandments. He says in chapter 4, verse 7, for what nation is there so great who hath God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? This is Moses preaching to the people. What nation is there like Israel? And what nation is there so great that has statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day? Only take heed to thyself, keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. But teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons, especially the day that thou stood before the Lord thy God in Horeb, Sinai. When the Lord said unto me, gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children. And ye came near, and stood under the mountain, and the mountain burned with fire in the midst of heaven, with darkness, clouds, and thick darkness. And the Lord spake unto you out of the midst of the fire. Ye heard the voice of the words, but saw no similitude, only ye heard a voice. Look down to verse 33. Did ever people hear the voice of God speaking out of the midst of fire as thou hast heard and live? The whole nation heard God speak to them. Look at verse 36. Out of heaven he made thee to hear his voice. that he might instruct thee, and upon earth he showed his great fire. And thou heard his words out of the midst of the fire. Look over in chapter 5. Verse 4. Chapter 5 is where Moses recounts the Ten Commandments. It says in verse 4, the Lord talked with you face to face in the mouth out of the midst of the fire. I stood between the Lord and you at that time to show you the word of the Lord, for you were afraid by reason of the fire and went not up into the mount. Then he recounts the Ten Commandments. Then down to verse 22, these words the Lord spake into all your assembly in the mount out of the midst of the fire, out of the cloud of the thick darkness, with a great voice. And he added no more. And he wrote them in two tables of stone and delivered them unto me. Then to verse 28, and the Lord heard the voice of your words when he spake unto me, and the Lord said unto me, I have heard the voice of the words of this people, which they have spoken unto thee. They have well said in all that they have spoken. Now look at God's heart towards his children. Look at God's heart. Oh, that there were such an heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. Isn't that our heart towards our children? Oh, that they would obey me, that they would hear me. This is God's heart toward us. But point being, God thundered the Ten Commandments from heaven. So then, back to Exodus, chapter 20. And Moses goes back up to the mountain, right? His fifth trip up the mountain. After God thundered the Ten Commandments, these people said, we don't want to hear anymore. You go. He went back up there then. And we read throughout chapters 21, 22, and 23 where God gives the people the civil law. We have the civil law. Later on comes the ceremonial law. First, he gives them the civil law that they're supposed to use as a law for how to run the nation, basically. And by the way, any Christian society can run itself by this law today as well. Everything we need is here for righteousness and justice in the land. By the way, look here in several things I could point out about the civil law. But I want to point out a couple things here. It talks about kidnapping and things like that. But verse 22 of chapter 21. If men strive and hurt a woman with child, so that her fruit depart, that's her baby, depart from her, and yet no mischief follow, that means the baby lives. He shall be surely punished according as the woman's husband will lay upon him, and he shall pay as the judge has determined. And if any mischief follow, that means that the baby is hurt or dies, then thou shalt give life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot. How many times have you heard eye for an eye, tooth for tooth? Look at the context where this is given. God says the life of the unborn is supposed to be protected.
Amen.
Eye for eye, tooth for tooth. That's in the context of protection of unborn babies. These bloodthirsty abortionists deserve capital punishment in God's eyes. By the way, any so-called theologian, including Ruckman, that says it's okay that life doesn't begin until the baby breathes, that's what Ruckman says. Sorry, God says life of the unborn is to be protected. That's civil law.
Mm-hmm.
And then more civil law in chapter 22 and 23. So God gives Moses up here for a while. God's giving him all the civil law. And he's writing it down and recounting it. Taking notes. Turn to chapter 24. I'm leading back to chapter 32. By the way, are any of you reading through Exodus with me as we're going through the Bible in a year? Anybody else? None of you are following your schedule? David is. Thank you, David.
I'm reading there a few days behind.
Okay. Okay. All right. Shame on you.
But it's morning once a month.
Very good. Okay, that's good. Chapter 24. Moses is still up there. And it was his fifth trip up the mountain. And now after he gives him the civil law, he hasn't yet given him the ceremonial law or the pattern for the tabernacle and all that. He said unto Moses, come up unto the Lord, thou Aaron and Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and worship ye afar off. And Moses alone shall come near the Lord, but they shall not come nigh, neither shall the people go up with him. Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord, and all the judgments. And all the people answered with one voice and said, all the words which the Lord has said we will do. They've heard the Ten Commandments, they've got the civil law. And they said, we're going to obey it. Everything God has said, we will do. And Moses wrote all the words of the Lord and rose up early in the morning and built an altar under the hill and 12 pillars according to the 12 tribes of Israel. And he sent young men of the children of Israel which offered burnt offerings and sacrificed peace offerings of oxen to the Lord. And Moses took half of the blood and put it in basins, and half of the blood he sprinkled on the altar. And he took the book of the covenant. He had just written what God gave him, the last three chapters, and read in the audience of the people, and they said, all that the Lord has said, we will do and be obedient. They knew the law. They've been given the law. There's no excuse. Verse 8, and Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people and said, behold, the blood of the covenant which the Lord hath made with you concerning all these words. Those words sound familiar? The blood of the, behold, the blood of the covenant. What did Jesus say in Matthew chapter 26? He held up the cup, right? This is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed, this is my blood of the new testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. So Jesus, Moses sprinkled the blood of the old covenant, and Jesus brought the blood of the new covenant. Look at verse 9. Then went up Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, those are Aaron's sons, and 70 of the elders of Israel. And they saw the God of Israel. They saw God. They didn't just hear God speak from heaven. They didn't just hear the law recited and written down for them. 70 elders of Israel went up the mountain and saw God. And there was under his feet as it was a paved work of a sapphire stone, and as it were the body of heaven in its clearness. And upon the nobles and the children of Israel he laid not his hand. Also they saw God and did eat and drink. By the way, keep your finger here. You don't have to turn with me. I'll read it for you. John 1, if I can find it. John chapter 1 says this. Verse 18. 17 says, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Verse 18 says, no man has seen God at any time. Wait a minute here. Is this a contradiction or what? No. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. No man has seen God the Father. God the Father is Spirit. But God the Father reveals himself to man through Jesus the Son. That's why Jesus said to Philip, you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Jesus said, no man cometh to the Father but by me. When God reveals himself to man, it's always through the person of his Son. Who did they see back here in Exodus chapter 24? They saw Jesus. That's Jesus. This is not a contradiction. They saw Jesus. Verse 13, Exodus 24. And Moses rose up, and his minister Joshua, and Moses went up the mountain to God. Sixth time up the mountain. Now this time he's up there for 40 days. Look down 18. Moses went up in the midst of the cloud and got him up in the mount. And Moses was in the mount 40 days and 40 nights. During that time, then God gives Moses the pattern for the tabernacle and the priestly garments, you know, and the curtains and the brass altar, the anointing oil, the priest garments, and how the priests are supposed to be sanctified and put into office. And that's all up through chapter 31. And then we come to chapter 32. Now after all that, they heard God. Moses brought down the law. All that God said, we will do. They said that two or three times. But now he's been gone 40 days. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, up, make us gods, which shall go before us. After all that. And we look at them and we say, how could anybody be so wicked and ignorant? They saw God. They heard from Him from heaven. Every single Israelite heard God speak from heaven. How could they do this? Well, how can you do it? How could I do it? Willful disobedience. You know what God wants you to do, and you disobey Him anyway. Verse 5. Point out something here about idolatry. When Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it, the idol. And Aaron made proclamation and said, tomorrow is a feast to Osiris. Didn't say that, did he?
No.
They made these golden calves and they said, tomorrow is a feast to Baal. No, they didn't say that, did they? They didn't name those golden calves Ra or An or Baal or Osiris. What did they name those calves?
Yahweh.
They said, this is what our God looks like. This is Jehovah. Idolatry is not only placing up priorities that are more important to you than God is. It's not only making a golden calf. Sometimes idolatry is any definition or view of God that you may have in contradiction to how God has defined Himself and revealed Himself to you through His Word. All misconceptions about God are idolatry. All false views of God are idolatry. Anytime you define God in terms other than how He's defined Himself, it's idolatry. We have to be very careful not to redefine God in our own terms for our own comfort. Well, I don't believe God would just choose who He would save. Well, and you don't believe the Bible. You're an idolater. Because that's what the Bible says. Well, I don't believe God, a loving God, would send me to hell. Well, then you're an idolater. God says He will. If you don't get saved, He will send you to hell. But I want a different God. I want a more comfortable God. Well, then you're an idolater. You want to define God in your terms, you're an idolater. You better believe what this book says about God. Stop trying to change the God that has revealed Himself to you into something that's more you're more comfortable with. Willful disobedience. Turn to 1 Samuel chapter 15. You better just believe what God has said about Himself. Accept it on faith. What you don't understand, accept on faith. 1 Samuel. What you don't want to believe, you better be very careful. When God says something and you don't want to believe it, you better be very careful. You better be very careful about stubbornness. All false doctrine is idolatry. You know how important it is to study to show yourself approved? A workman that needeth not to be ashamed rightly dividing the word of truth. You know how important that is? All false doctrine is idolatry. Stubbornness. Refusing to be teachable. Taking a position just because it's what you like is idolatry. Coming to the Bible with a preconceived, predetermined plan is idolatry. Stubbornness. 1 Samuel 15. Here's the sin of King Saul. God told him to go out and slay the Amalekites. Every one of them, don't leave anything to breathe. Kill their sheep, kill everything they've got. And what did he do? He spared Agag, the king, and the best of the sheep. Where Samuel said, what then mean this bleeding of sheep in my ears? Right? We've been here. Verse 22, Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Mm-hmm. If you're stubborn in your approach to the Bible, you're an idolater. If your stubbornness leads you to a false view of God because you refuse to accept what God says about Himself, you're an idolater. Paul said, neither be idolaters as were some of them. Don't be idolaters. Don't come to this book with a preconceived notion of what it has to say to suit you and your eschatology, whatever it is. Just believe what this book says. Don't be stubborn. If you're stubborn, you're an idolater. I hope I made my point. I said to a man last week, do you understand that what you're doing is totally unbiblical? The ultimatum you brought to me is totally unbiblical. What did he say? Yeah, I don't care. That's stubbornness. That's idolatry. That's wickedness. That's rebellion. The sin of witchcraft. You understand how important that is? How serious that is? All false doctrine is idolatry. You better be careful to get your doctrine right. You better be teachable. You better be teachable. Paul says, neither be idolaters as were some of them. You know, when I think of how they, he talks of how they rose up to play. They sat down to eat and drink and they rose up to play. You know what I think of? I think of some of the shenanigans that goes on in Charismania these days. You see it on TV. I was in a church once many years ago after I first got saved. About 3 years after I got saved. And of course, I was, you know, a Bible student. I wanted everything God had for me. You know, Bible says this is what, you know, tongues and all that stuff. Well, it's for me. I want it, you know. Had an elder in our church that said, you need to go check this revival over in Lakeland. A guy named, I can't think of his name now. Doing it over there at Carpenter's Home Church. That guy, maybe you don't remember. Called himself the Holy Ghost Bartender. Huh? No. This was long before him.
Okay.
Rodney Howard Brown.
Oh.
Rodney Howard Brown. Holy laughter. Holy laughter.
Yeah.
Idolatry. Absolute wicked idolatry.
You know what happened with him?
They said he's still got church down there, doesn't he?
Yeah, you know what happened to him?
They caught him pumping some kind of like laughing gas into the
thing. Oh, that's right, I did hear that. Laughing gas. That's spiritual. You know how he baptized people? He had a lot of converts. A lot of converts. Had a big swimming pool. Had them all stand in the pool and said, fall. They said, fall. That's baptism. Idolatry.
He's also Jesus only.
Idolatry. It's wickedness. It's idolatry. You better be very serious about this book. You better be teachable. We saw the results of this church of idolatry, as far as I'm concerned. You better be teachable. Don't be stubborn. We read in Exodus 32, God sent out a plague among the people. Many of them were slain. God doesn't put up with idolatry. We better take His book seriously. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we love Your word. We love You, Lord. Just thank You so much that You saved us. I thank You that You didn't leave us here to wander and to grope, but You wrote Your word down for us in black and white. We love this book, but we also just, Lord, we love You because You revealed Yourself to us in the person of Your Son. Thank You for saving us. Help us to be students of Your word, to be teachable, to be humble. If Your word says it, to just believe it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.